This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy War.
Jack Andy.
Joy Law.
It is time for Joy Law.
Last week we talked about surrogacy
and about domestic and commercial surrogacy and the difference between the two. This week we're going to change our focus and talk about domestic surrogacy in Australia and the process that you might follow if you find a surrogate. And joining us live in the studio to do the talking, to give us the expert opinion and advice, is Bronwyn from KHQ Lawyers. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Yes, that's right. So last week you had Monica in here and she was talking about how to go about finding a surrogate, the legal requirements of actually being a surrogate, and the difference between altruistic and commercial surrogacy.
And of course you can't advertise, you can use your networks, but you can't
use the paper. Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of restrictions on what you can and can't do to make sure that the surrogacy is legal here. But just to touch on something important, it does depend state by state. You have different legislation.
Yes.
So the requirements are different based on what state you're in.
So do your homework, get advice.
Definitely do your homework and get advice. But what we're going to talk about today is the legal process involved in domestic surrogacy arrangements. So assuming that you've found your surrogate, what do you do next? So, and we're going to be discussing that in the context of Victoria, of course. So once you've found your surrogate, you still need to tick some boxes in order to be eligible to actually commission the surrogate to have your child. So you either need to be unable to become pregnant, unable to carry a child or give birth, or there needs to be a serious risk to your life or the life of a baby if you were to actually carry that child or give birth to that child. So one example is obviously two males who need a female to carry the baby, or in a heterosexual or lesbian relationship, it may be, the issues may be around infertility or a medical risk about actually carrying a pregnancy through to term and giving birth. In terms of those medical issues, you'll need to provide some medical evidence. Usually that's not difficult to do if you're linked in with a fertility specialist and that sort of thing. That's fairly simple.
So if you want to keep your girlish figure, that's not a good reason.
Yeah, you not, can't just be
no.
like...
No,
not quite good enough, unfortunately.
No.
You've also got to jump through a few more hoops. All the parties to the surrogacy arrangement have to undergo a criminal record check and something called a child protection order check. So that just relates to if you've ever had a child in your care or guardianship, whether there's ever been any child protection orders made in relation to that child, so intervention by Department of Health and Human Services,
right,
that sort of thing. Even if you tick all those boxes, so you've got your medical evidence, you've got your police checks, you've got your child protection order check, it's not just as easy as walking into the IVF clinic, unfortunately. Before you can actually commence the surrogacy arrangement and the IVF procedure required to conceive a child, you've got to have your surrogacy arrangement approved by something called the Patient Review Panel at the Victorian Assisted Reproductive Treatment Authority, or VARTA.
Hello, VARTA. Hello, VARTA speaking.
Hello,
VARTA. Can't put you through. You've run VARTA.
That's beautiful.
That's a great name, VARTA.
Very
melodic. The Victorian Assisted Reproductive Treatment Authority.
Yeah, so VARTA and PRP are the acronyms that we're sort of working with.
Hello. PRP. Sorry. Making fun of a very serious
BRB,
thing.
PRP. So there are a couple of things that the patient review panel are looking out for. Probably one of the most significant of which is that the intended parent or parents and the surrogate need to go to counselling. So usually this is done through the IVF treatment facility. And the purpose of the counselling is to explore the issues that can arise in the midst of the surrogacy arrangement. So it's important to ensure that everybody is on the same page. You're able to address any issues that do come up as a team. And the ultimate goal, of course, is to determine whether the surrogate that you have found is actually the right person for you. And as an extension of that, if the surrogate has a partner, they very much need to be involved in that counselling process as well, because it obviously it takes a lot to also support a surrogate through a pregnancy. Absolutely. For somebody else.
Mm. And it can be quite an emotional time, I imagine, having a baby and being having a baby.
Yeah. But the surrogate, they have to have already had a baby. No?
That's right.
Have to have it. There's a sense.
La.
Yeah, so last week.
I was listening. Hello.
You've learned. Yeah, last week Monica was going through the various requirements for a surrogate. Mm. You have to be of a certain age. You have to have had a successful pregnancy before, so given birth to a live child.
Can't pay for it in Australia.
Can't pay for it. You
I
can
listen.
Listening.
I listen to the podcast.
You can reimburse for expenses, but that's about it. They can't benefit otherwise. And the surrogate is not to be genetically linked to the child that's actually born.
I have a question.
Of course.
I'll raise my hand because I'm polite. It's the magic of radio. How often, or is it very common for a surrogate to freak out and want to keep the child? Not freak out. I think that's, you know, clearly have a change of heart. And
yeah, no, but I think everybody would be freaking out if that were the case. So that's the importance of counselling. It's to make sure that you've done everything that you need to do to reduce that risk. So everybody has an appreciation of what it's going to require to hand that baby over once you've given birth to it. To the extent that there are any issues, I think it's really rare, because to get to that stage, you have sort of ticked off all of these boxes.
Very
proactive. You've done your due diligence.
It.
You've got a special relationship between you and the surrogate, that sort of thing. But look, if it does happen, there are certainly things that you can do to jump in. I think we're going to talk about surrogacy agreements down the track and everything as well. That's a tool that can help you. And of course, if you got wind that there was going to be any issue like that, you should definitely contact a lawyer as soon as possible. But very, very rare, in our experience, because usually everyone is really on the same page and sort of committed to that common goal. So
we are chatting to Bronwyn from KHQ Lawyers about surrogacy. Stick around. Coming up after this, we're going to have a chat about the types of things that are generally discussed in these counselling sessions and some of the other requirements of the patient review panel. And we've had some messages in on 0427 JOY949.
Yes, Mike. Hello, Mike. Thank you so much for getting in touch. So Bronwyn was talking about whether the surrogate can be genetically connected or not. And Mike's come and said the surrogate can be genetically connected. That's what traditional surrogacy is. We did it and are the first family in Victoria to get a parentage order.
Congratulations, Mike. That sounds great.
That's amazing. Thank you.
That's awesome.
And it goes on. You just can't go through the clinic at this stage, but legal and counselling needs to be done before pregnancy, as Bronwyn was discussing as well. And then... Dean?
I mean, if I can jump in as well.
Please.
I mean, that's definitely true. So, traditional surrogacy is still an option. It's just not the most common option at the moment. It usually is more common to go through, you know, an IVF clinic with a donated embryo.
And we should say that there are sort of expert lawyers out there who specialise in surrogacy. And
yes.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we do lots of it at our firm, KHQ Lawyers. Monica Blizzard, who you heard from last week, does it. There are also, plenty of other practitioners.
Now, Bronwyn, you were saying, so we're talking about the counselling process. What types of things generally get discussed in the counselling?
So the typical things to cover off on are how many embryo transfers will be made to the surrogate, how many embryos might be implanted each time, what could happen if during the pregnancy there's a risk to the surrogate's life or health.
I hadn't thought about that,
Yeah, you've got to do all the forward planning and really sort of think about all the possibilities so that if something does come up, you're prepared. That includes possibly and unfortunately in what circumstances the pregnancy might need to be terminated.
How heartbreaking.
Yeah, but again, important to plan.
Yes.
Be all on the same page. The practical arrangements around the birth itself, you know, who's there, who's doing what. The relinquishment of the child following the birth. So, you know, where are the intended parents or parent going to be? You know, when are they going to sort of take the child? Expenses and that sort of thing being reimbursed, what kinds of expenses that Monica touched on last week, and of course, as you were saying as well, what could possibly happen if the surrogate didn't want to relinquish the child after giving birth. So normally all of these things are discussed during counselling and you sort of reach some agreement on how you would tackle these various issues, and that agreement is often reduced to writing in what we call a surrogacy agreement. We can go into those in more detail in following weeks, but that's usually the byproduct of the counselling.
So it's sort of, it's both emotional, but it's also very practical.
It is, and it's something that you can point to later if things, issues do arise, and you can say, look, this is what we all intended at the time that we entered into this surrogacy arrangement. And then really the final thing the patient review panel is looking at is it needs to be satisfied that everyone has had independent legal advice. So that's the intended parent or parents, that's the surrogate and their partner. It could be other, you know, family members who are going to be closely, are close to the surrogate or intended parents and going to be affected, like children. But just to make sure that everyone is aware of and understands the personal and legal consequences of the surrogacy arrangement. But provided you've ticked all the boxes that we've talked about last week and this week, the patient review panel can approve your surrogacy arrangement and that IVF procedure, and you can get started.
Woohoo!
Wow. It's a very exciting time.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
For Dean and I.
We're not doing this, Jacqueline.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Thank you, Roman. If you're interested in this content or you have a friend you think might be interested, you could, of course, listen to the podcast of this segment from the Joy website at joy.org.au/Jack and Dean. Thank you, Roman. We'll chat to you all the summer from the team again next week.
Thank you.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.